Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Our Blue Bahamas. I am so excited to be here in the room with Nicola Fernander and who you've heard from before, Jasmine Colley. And we are going to be talking about Brief's, I think, just tremendous eco-schools program today. And I think, though, some people out there are going to be like, wait, what was an eco-school? Is this what is going on? So I think, can you just start us off with telling me a little bit about what the eco-schools program is?
Okay, absolutely. The eco-schools program is the world's largest environmental education program, and it operates in 67 countries. It is led by the Foundation for Environmental Education, also known as FEE, and it uses a seven-step framework to integrate sustainability into school life, empowering young people in the environmental management of environmental concerns. So schools that demonstrate a commitment to environmental excellence are recognized with the internationally acclaimed Green Flag accreditation. So we have a lot of schools right now interested in getting their green flags. I'm going to talk a bit more about that a little bit later in the show. But Brief is the official FEE representative for the Bahamas, and Brief is the national operator for the EcoSchools program. So in our first and second quarter of 2025, we are marked successfully green flag renewals and network expansion. So we had new schools join our network of EcoSchools, and we're proud to say that we have schools really excited who have not joined us yet, but are getting ready to register as well. So we're excited about that. Brief EcoSchools program is a testament to the Bahamas' dedication to environmental education. The network proudly extends across six islands.
Which islands?
So we have Eleuthera, we have Abaco.
Yep.
Of course, we have Eleuthera.
Got to.
Hatchet Bay Bourne. We have Eleuthera, we have Abaco, we have Andrus as well.
Nice.
We have Cat Island interested in registering this year, so we're excited about that. We have Maniwaki, I don't want to forget you guys. And we have Hopetown, who's a veteran as it relates to eco schools.
Excellent.
So we're proud to mention those schools. We have 30 private schools and 22 government schools. Now,
amazing. So that's fantastic.
Most of our green flag schools are private schools. So we're trying to work on that. We're working on that. We want more government schools to become green flag schools.
Yeah.
To show that you are environmental stewards. We want you to get on board, and we want you to access all of the good things that we're doing in the EcoSchools program. So we're excited about that.
So I love this. So just, I'm going to try and break it down a little bit. So it's a big international program. You said over 60 countries are doing this.
Yes.
Do you know when it started internationally and when we joined as the Bahamas? Like, I'm fascinated that we're a part of this big global network.
Okay. Well, if I remember correctly, the Bahamas joined the network with FEE in 1992. So we have been involved with this program for quite a while.
Yeah.
I think the first school that got their green flag was actually Deep Creek Middle School.
Okay.
So yeah, Eleuthera again.
Again. I love this. Well, so, good things go down in South Eleuthera.
Absolutely.
Between the island school and everything.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And so we are proud to have our family island schools involved. New Providence, we are extending an invitation to schools that have not registered as yet, particularly government schools, to get on board, register your school. We know that Aquinas College is our most recent green flag school. They worked resiliently to get their green flag. And we're hoping that schools also who have been registered for a while, who are a part of our network, that you work towards either the Bronze Award or the Silver Award. And I know that people are not as excited about those, but those show that you are doing great work. But those who have not gotten their green flags, we're encouraging you to work towards your green flag.
So let me, I'm hearing about eco schools for the first time. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher at fake school number one. Mm-hmm. So I want to eventually have my school become a green flag school under the program. What do I do? Like, I give us a like little breakdown of what the steps are. Jasmine, let me hear from you.
Okay, so you would, as Nicola said, you'd register your school.
How?
Okay, so you can reach out to Brief, and we have a whole document, which is a 7-step program that will get your school certified as a eco school. And then also what I do like about this is a student-led program. Mm. So this is the opportunity where students would take the initiative to be within the policies of the school. Like, and it's a very, very detailed...
Give me an example.
Within one of the 7 steps, like, first you have to do an audit of your school. Like, what's going on? Like, where can I see opportunities to make my school more sustainable? And then you would actually form... The students will actually form a plan. Like, for example... we can probably limit our electricity consumption. So then they would actually have to record data of their electricity consumption and actually make goals on how to limit that. And so they would, through initiatives and actually awareness campaigns within their own schools and with fun activities, they get to actually limit, like, for example, their energy consumption.
Okay, so this would be, again, I'm fake school number one. Mm-hmm. And can I, as a student, can I register us, or do I have to get one of my teachers or the principal to come and register the school?
Okay, great question. So although Eco Schools is student-led, it is a partnership with the student, the teacher, the parent down, I don't want to say down to, but it also includes janitorial staff, everybody, administration. So it is a partnership with the student and the school and the community. So
school has to be on board at their administrative level.
Absolutely.
It's difficult to change electricity use. And I love the example of the janitorial staff, because they are in so many rooms, they can make sure those lights are turned off, right? Like little easy things that if you partner with all aspects of your school, mm-hmm. you're going to do better. Okay.
Yes.
So I should, as a student listening now, and I'm like, I wanted to start a, you know, way to get, you know, less plastic on campus. Mm-hmm. Eco school sounds like a great thing. I can go talk to my teacher. Teacher will talk to the principal. Together, they'll come get this 7-step certification letter thingy from Brief and sort of get walked through what the steps would be.
Yes. So like Jasmine said, it's a 7-step framework. So the first thing that you need to do is register, have your school registered as an eco school. So you join our network of eco schools. Now thereafter, and I always stress that schools need to be realistic in what they want to focus on. So you can focus on climate change, you can focus on biodiversity, you can focus on energy, healthy living, keeping your premises clean, your school clean. So you can focus on litter, you can focus on waste. And I want to just go back to it being a partnership with the school, the students, the parents, because I know that there are schools who are green flag schools who are now using, they have gardens, so they're using the produce from their gardens in the cafeteria. And even with energy, like Jasmine said as well, you can see the difference in your electricity bill. So monitoring, focusing on energy, monitoring your electricity usage plays a part in the school saving money. So it's a program not only for the students, but the school benefits as well.
I love this. Okay, so, it's great that there's, like, this checklist of things and 7 steps and all of that. How do I, as a student, maybe, like, there's 3 students in 7th grade who are interested, there's 4 in 8th grade, and there's 5 in 9th grade. How do they come together so that, you know, there's a little bit of cohesion and collaboration? We don't just want everybody doing their own thing. I'm assuming you want some sort of group activity.
Okay, so this is where the Eco School Coordinator leads. So students that are interested in starting the program at their school, you seek out your Eco School Coordinator. Now, we have Eco School Coordinators at each registered school. So they would probably approach students to see if you're interested in becoming a part of the program. And what I like about schools like Aquinas and St. John's is what they do is make sure that if the lead person, if the president or the vice president is in a 11th or 12th grade, particularly 12th grade, and are getting ready to graduate, they make sure that they prepare the student that's either in the 10th or 11th grade.
So they're doing their own succession plan.
Absolutely.
So they are getting set for being good business leaders in the future, right?
This is,
and I'm going to assume not only is there leadership, but this is coordination, right? Mm-hmm. And just because we have a shared interest in the environment, it doesn't mean maybe we, let's be simple, maybe we have very different sports teams that we like, right? So maybe we are not friendly in some ways, but this can be the common denominator for otherwise students of very diverse backgrounds and interests. I love that. Okay. So you said we had 50 something schools registered?
Yes, we have 52 schools registered.
And of those, how many have gotten the green flag symbol? Do we have more than one?
Absolutely. We have about a little less than half of that number that are green flag schools.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, and we actually have schools that have
been... So over 20, you think?
Yes, about 27.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay.
So we have... we have schools that have been green flag schools for at least 4 to 5 years. They have successfully renewed their green flag award accreditation. So, which means that it's not a school, those schools are not schools that just started and stopped. It's a continual thing with a lot of our green flag schools. And so what happens and what we really want to happen is that the program and the objectives of the program spill out into the community, which is why part of being a green flag school or being an eco school is you informing or collaborating with nearby businesses, making sure that what your objectives are in the school spills over into the community. So it's a partnership. Like I said, it's led by students, but it includes everyone. Parents are involved. We have an eco school that is actually led by a parent.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you mean led by? I guess, and you talked about like a president, like, I don't necessarily, it's they're the president of what, or they're, what is this leadership? Mm. Give me a little bit of how it
okay,
works.
When I say led by the parent, that person functions as the eco coordinator.
The coordinator. You
right,
love them.
Which is okay. Usually a teacher. But it can be a parent.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Which is a plus.
And because, then on the president side, though, what's the other?
So for the president side, it's students. So the eco committee.
What's the committee?
The committee is made up of a president. These are students. They vote and choose who they want to lead.
Got
the eco club. Clubs are set up at the schools. So you choose which time you want to have your eco club meetings. So sometimes the meetings are held after school. Sometimes the meetings are held lunchtime.
So I'm the coordinator. I've reached out to the students in the school. I've now got 20 students who are interested mm-hmm. in the program. Mm-hmm. They then form the
committee. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then they have their president.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
Okay.
So while we're talking about the committee, so the first step is to choose your committee members. And then you identify areas that of improvement that you want to focus on. So that would be, again, the climate change, the biodiversity, the energy, healthy living. I know a lot of our eco schools have gardens as well. They like to focus on that area. One of the requirements for Green Flag is you having a very clean premises, so litter-free. So we encourage that. And we also encourage composting. I know a lot of schools have been doing composting, and a few of our green flag schools are also have solar panels. So
yeah,
that
which is obviously just such a win here in the Bahamas, and we are seeing the cost of solar panels come down. Even batteries at this point are almost at the easily affordable level if you are an institution where the savings are going to be so great. Have there been examples of the eco of solar panels coming in once an eco school has been established or registered, so it might be considered part of the impetus for why a school chose solar panels?
Well, I know that for solar panels, the schools that have solar panels, some of them got donations to assist them in getting those. And I know that, some of them got from grantors as well. So I don't want to call the grantors name.
No. Don't be pushing pressure on them. They done it once. That's good enough. Tell me, Jasmine.
What I do like about the questions, if you're still unsure about how to become an eco school, you can reach out to Brief. We have an annual eco school coordinators conference.
Ooh.
Yes. And so we have persons who have been registered green flag holders for a long time to sharing their experiences with persons who have not yet registered, or different stages within getting.
When does that happen?
So it tends to happen within October.
So maybe coming up.
So we have one coming up soon. But what I like about this, if you're still unsure, you can just reach out to Brief and get more details.
How do I reach out to Brief?
You can reach out to Brief by email, brief@brief.org.
Okay.
Or you can call us directly at 327-9000.
Perfect.
And then also we post all of our events, all what's happening at Brief. We're very active on social media, so you can follow us at Brief242.
Okay, so that would be like Instagram.
And Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok. Yes, okay. We're on everything.
I'm too old for all of that, but that's wonderful that we're dealing with schools and students as it should be. This is great.
And then also we have something special coming up. Because Eco Schools program is such a student-led, a leadership-focused program, we're having a leadership conference, not for coordinators, but for the presidents themselves of the different eco schools.
So the students.
So we're going to have like a leader is still in its planning process, and it's going to be the first one ever where presidents are going to come together from different eco schools and just learn and just grow together and how to become better leaders and how to affect change it within their school and communities.
So this question is going to come a little bit out of left field, I suppose, but hearing you talk, Jasmine, it just really makes me proud to be a Bahamian that we've got this going on here. I feel like having over 50 schools registered in our tiny little population, these countries with millions of people might not even have as many as we do. Does it seem like we have a good reception to the concept of eco schools here in the Bahamas? That our students are interested and they at a higher rate, I would say, than maybe in some other countries.
So a lot of our eco schools programs, and you can correct me on this, Nicola, they have been involved with other Brief programs. So we have a strong network. So this is also showing some of a lot of our other programs, the eco schools answers the question of what's next. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'd have a community snorkel where we'd invite the public out to snorkel with us, or we'll have a field trip. And, obviously we can't have a field trip every week with the same school.
Right.
So they're going to say, what's next? How can we get more involved? How can my school get more involved? And this is where the Eco Schools program steps in.
And I can imagine that, for listeners who don't know, but Brief also does these incredible teacher training workshops. Mm-hmm. And at this point, there is a Brief trained teacher in essentially every school across the archipelago. I'm not just talking about New Providence and Grand Bahama. This is across the islands. So I can also imagine maybe as a next step for a teacher, it would be I've just come armed back with all this additional information. What's another way to ensure that my students are going to be able to feel this same sort of intensity and excitement about the Bahamian environment? So do you see Brief trained teachers maybe being a little bit of the impetus again for creating these clubs?
Yes, absolutely. The excitement actually stems not only from the students, but the teachers are excited about the program as well. I know that the workshop that was held last year was very engaging. The teachers were equipped with information that they took back to their schools and got the students excited about the program, or even more so excited than they were. Brief also provides resources. So we provide support as well. We had teachers, I know that we also have the SEA program where students are a little fearful of the water. We have teachers that are also fearful of the water.
Yeah.
And we have a snorkel when we have the workshop. We have a snorkel the second day of the workshop. And we found that teachers are more comfortable after the workshop. So they take that experience back. And we have found that even schools that are a part of the Eco Schools program, they tend to book more of our field trips.
Right, because they know
yes,
the benefit,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I know, so for listeners who have heard some of the other podcasts, you're going to know that I'm an economist. And so for me, I loved that you were bringing up real tangible benefits that are not necessarily in the traditional, like, oh, go green, you know, like you're saving the trees. Like this is, you know, the old thought. No, this is saving dollars. This is having potentially allowing a school to have additional resources for a variety of things. Mm-hmm. What would you say some of the other benefits of being an Eco Schools school are?
Tell me. I think, which is one of, I love that you ask. It's cheaper. It's cheaper on your school. One of the biggest sells, say, hey, I want my school to become more eco-friendly, to be more sustainable, is that it's going to be cheaper. If you're going to manage your waste better, if you're going to use less electricity, if you're going to use some of your garden within your cafeteria, it's going to be less expensive than getting it any other ways.
Right.
So I think that's very, very important. That a lot of people think this sustainable lifestyle is really, really like very expensive. Some persons call it a scam.
Yeah.
But it's cheaper when you do the maths, it's cheaper.
Yeah. No, and the composting, I think, is an easy example that people don't think about, right? So I'm a, too much information alert, but I'm a big composter, right? So all my green food scraps plus, you know, the trimmings in the garden, they go all in my compost. It means, though, I don't have to spend money on fertilizer because we all know our soil really ain't very good here, right? So this is a problem that we do have. So by me constantly creating really nutrient-rich compost, it means that I can actually grow tomatoes that are cost-effective, because otherwise it's expensive to garden in the Bahamas in your backyard, right? Like it's not, it's much better at the school level where you actually have the space and the amount of land that's required. But if you're doing this in pots in your backyard, it's tough. Mm-hmm. However, these simple things like composting, mm-hmm. which reduces, again, for the taxpayer, every time we're putting less garbage into the garbage, means that it costs the government less money to go around and pick up the garbage. We are being more efficient as a country. And I know I'm wabbling on a little bit about this, but I feel that there's probably lots of bit of the Eco Schools program that are setting these students up that then in their own families, mm-hmm. maybe they then start composting themselves at home, or, you know, they're coming up with ways to be more efficient and effective with their resources at home.
Yes, absolutely. And just there are so many different ways that you can make a difference. Plant-based meals,
yes.
As simple as that is, that makes a difference. Opting to walk or cycle or carpool, those things make a difference. So sometimes we think really, really big, but sometimes the small things that we do or can do can make a difference. And so again, this is why Eco Schools is so important, because the things, the goals and the objectives that the students choose, it spills over into the community.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference nationwide. So the program, our youth leading, yes, but our youth taking that information that they learn via the Eco Schools, the Eco Clubs, and taking that in their homes, that makes a big difference.
No, it does, because then they've told their mummy, their daddy, potentially granny. Granny goes back to church. She tells her, you know, fellow churchgoers about it. You really do have that on this knock-on effect. Man, look, we've been doing this. And because of our savings on the water, that we're being more efficient with how we utilize our water resources, now we're saving X dollars a month and don't have to pay to water and sewage, whatever it happens to be, right? Like, these are all really great lessons. So, okay, I have become an eco school. I've registered. I'm working towards getting my green flag status. Once I get it, is that like the end result? Like, it's like, woo, I got it, boom, now we're done.
Okay, it's funny that you ask that, because what we're doing now, well, FEE, the umbrella that we fall under as an eco school, what we are talking about now and having meetings about is platinum. So once you've been an eco school for at least 4 to 5 years and you've gotten your green flag and you have shown continuously that you are an environmental steward, a school of excellence, we're looking at actually having a platinum accreditation.
So this is above, beyond even
this is above flag. Above and beyond green flag. It
so
means
you would have
that
bronze, silver, green flag, and then boppity bop, I'm in the platinum level.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And I know that our eco coordinators would be excited about that, because I always stress to them, you don't have to go from registration to green flag. You can go from registration to bronze to silver and then green flag.
Yeah.
But teachers are very competitive.
Of course. Teachers and students, I was like, so, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, yes. So they're like, no, I don't want the bronze. I don't want the silver. And schools are working really hard. I know schools that have registered last year. It usually takes about 2 years for you to really have your ducks in a row to become a green flag school.
Yeah.
But schools are so resilient. They are working really hard towards that green flag award. Newly registered schools. Now, I want to say this as well. Most of our green flag schools are private schools.
Right.
We want to improve on that. We want more government schools to take advantage of the program. C.R. Walker, I hope you're listening, because you are very close to your green flag. I want to encourage you to keep things going. And hopefully, if not the end of this year, you guys need to get it together so that we have green flag at C.R. Walker. I'm rooting for you guys.
I see this 2026. 2026. C.R. Walker, I'm rooting for you too.
Yes.
And now, C.R. Walker's where you have
the C program.
So it would be such a great tie-in if that was able to occur. And I love this. I'm going to put this out there too, just for the community members. Try and reach out. If you're a small business, you know what public school is in your community.
Yes.
Go and check in with them. See if they are a registered eco school. And if they are, see how you can help.
Yes.
Even if it's in a small way, because I think these are the things that will keep on building the communities. Each constituency is going to get better because of this. And I mean, I have done so much work with the Ministry of Education and Department of Education that it would really be wonderful to see more of our public schools be able to attain that status. And let's go. It's a competition, right? Like, this should be, I see this being able to easily be equalize between the public and the private sector.
Absolutely.
Here.
We want everybody to get the benefits of being a part of the program. So not only the private schools, but definitely our government school students who may not have some of the opportunities that the program offers. So Brief really tries to, but gets our schools, our students who may not have opportunities like to go to the beach, as simple as going to the beach, as simple as getting in the water, as simple as snorkeling. The students are so excited. And so we're happy about that. And we want more students in certain areas. Not only the what we would call quote unquote prestigious areas, but in certain areas to just benefit from the program and the programs in particular, all of the programs that Brief offers.
And I, you know, I 100% agree in what you see in, I do quite a lot of social development work in other parts of the world. And often, you know, the creativity that comes out of the most vulnerable communities is so much higher than no negativity on the maybe the more, as you call them, privileged areas, but I have got to think that some of the solutions and the creativity that's going to come out of our more underserved schools is going to be fantastic. Come on. I want to see these numbers change. We'll have to do another podcast next year about eco schools. And you're going to be telling me how C.R. Yes, Walker and yes. X, Y, and Z have all, yes. have all become. Mm-hmm. I guess just I love wrapping up the podcast with just sort of your personal impressions of these programs that you were running and a part of for brief. So, Jasmine, I feel like you're a part of everything, but tell me a little bit about how you feel the seeing what's gone on with the Eco Schools program has impacted you.
What I love about the Eco Schools program is that they take the helm of environmental leadership. Right. I know brief, we like to say that, you know, we have extensive work in the Bahamas for protecting our environmental resources. But like, for example, last year, for International Coastal Cleanup Day, each eco schools, if not all, cleaned up a beach. So it was it was a nationwide coastal cleanup
through the
Eco Schools network. So there were several islands in the Bahamas that took place. And you know, sometimes at brief, we don't have an opportunity to go to every separate island.
Yep.
So it was just so amazing to see how our network expanded over our network of islands and had such a huge impact.
I love this. And Nicola, I mean, obviously your energy and passion for the project is so clear in every word you speak. But tell me as succinctly as possible, because we are running out of time, what you feel the impact of being a part, such an integral part of the Eco Schools program has done for you.
I think I really appreciate being in a position where I can work with young people. They are in a position where they can make a difference. I like that brief offers, I don't want to say underprivileged students an opportunity to be involved and just get what they would normally not get unless they were a part of the program. So I'm excited to just be in a position where I can make young people just a little bit better and offer them an opportunity to have access to things and activities that they would normally not have access to.
Well, I love that. And again, listeners, I'm just going to put out there, if you want to be a part of an Eco Schools program, you're in your community, you don't know who the Eco School in your area is, or you're a parent or a student or a teacher and want to have your school be a part of it, you can contact Brief at 327-9000. You can email them on brief@brief.org, and that is B-R-E-E-F. Or you can find them on pretty much every social media at Brief242. Thank you so much, Jasmine, Nicola, for sharing all your passion for the Eco Schools program. And that's a wrap for us today.